Anthony Morrow. Are you there, my brother? Unmute your mic. I think we got you. I see you on the screen now.
Okay. Y'all got me.
Let's give Anthony Morrow a hand. It's his first time. It's his first time on AMP. Live on AMP. Man, I appreciate you pulling through, my brother in Christ. I appreciate you pulling through. Special co-host. We're waiting for our guest to pull up. He had a flight back to Atlanta, so we're going to see how it work out. But AMP Morrow, man, it's been a long time, my brother. I'm going to tell the quick story real quick about my guy, AMP, right? So back in like 2011, when LeBron was on the Miami Heat, back in those days, right? I had a show called The Popular Strangers with my best friend, my brother, Flyboy Brass. Y'all follow Flyboy Brass on Instagram, Twitter, Flyboy Brass. That's my homeboy day one. We had a blog talk radio show way back before all this podcasting shit, you know, before everybody called themselves a podcaster. No, I really was the podfather. You know, Joe Budden running around saying he the podfather. I'm really the podfather, you know. I had a pod. Look, the funny story is Joe Budden was on an episode of my show back in 2011. And this guy right here, AMP Morrow, was also a special guest on that show. So we go way back. You play for the New Jersey Nets. You a hometown guy from NC, man. How you been doing since you transitioned from your playing days? So you played 10 years in the league, bro. That's a long time.
Yeah, bro, I can't complain, man. First of all, apologize for getting this AMP stuff right. I got my young fella to help me out with everything over here at the studio. But I'm going to tell you, man, hey, you one of the guys that was before First Take, before everything, bro. I remember we was talking about hip-hop. I wanted to talk about basketball. You talking about hip-hop. You talking about everything else. And you one of those guys, man. And it's special, bro, really? And it's different.
Bro, I really appreciate that, man. I think it's something in the water, bro. It's that North Carolina sauce, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm from Charlotte. You know, I'm Selma West Boulevard. Like, so when I saw what you was doing, I'm like, man, we need him around doing this, talking about our state. Like, we got to have that going on for real. You know what I'm saying? You're doing it now.
Yeah, I appreciate it, bro. So growing up in Charlotte, bro, you played in some of the toughest environments. Like, where did you get that toughness, man? Because everybody know you as being like a prolific three-point shooter in your playing days. But OKC, that's where you really got your claim to fame, man, coming from Georgia Tech. But, like, what were some of those areas in Charlotte? Like, some of those outdoor courts? Because, you know, kids now, everybody play inside the gym. You know, you got a training business now. I'm sure everything is inside the gym. But I know you was outside in the trenches in Charlotte, really making a name for yourself.
Not real talk, man. I'm from West Boulevard, Charlotte, bro. It's Amy James, Tucker CG. You know what I'm talking about? We're talking about, like, Dalton Village, these places where, like, people didn't come there unless you didn't have a family member or something. You know, so it was like growing up over there and having guys like Vincent Gray, my brother D'Amico Crawford, you know, Ashford Gray, these guys that helped me with my AAU team and, of course, my mom and everything, all the rec leagues, all the rec centers that they don't have now. That's why a lot of kids ain't outside as much no more. And that's where that came from for me. You know, the parks, LJ Park, Clinton Road over there. You know what I'm saying? You go over there, you got different areas where you go play. You play just grown men that's teaching you life, not just basketball. That's when we was outside every day. In the summertime, it was no day we wasn't outside hooping. We hooping every day. We're going to find somewhere to hoop. And that's where that came from.
You came from the streets of Charlotte. What made you decide on Georgia Tech? Like, being a kid from Charlotte, Atlanta's only 3-hour drive. It's not too far away. But you was in a home state where you had UNC's, the Dukes, the Wake Forest. Mm. You know, you had Davidson right around the street, around the corner. Like, what made you set your sights on playing for Georgia Tech?
Well, I got offered by everybody in the ACC itself. For Duke and Carolina. Carolina was about to offer me, but Matt Daugherty got fired. And then Roy Williams came in, and J.R. Smith, who's my brother, I love him so much, he was like, that's the last scholarship. And I said, we all know he's going to the league from Nike camp, NBA camp, Adidas camp. We already knew he was going, but I knew that in my high school coach, shout out to Jerry Faulkner, he was like, they're going to still bring his scholarship through. So they're going to tell you to walk on. I said, I ain't walking on shit. I said, I'm going to Georgia Tech. I said, I'm going to Georgia Tech. You know what I'm saying? I got to play against everybody. I'm playing in the ACC. I've been watching this my whole life. You feel me? So that's where that move went. And I love Paul Hewitt. I love the whole coach staff, Charlton Young, you know what I mean? Peterson Harris, all the guys that was there, all the coaching staff and my teammates I played with, and just Atlanta in itself in that time, you know, and being able to be a part of that culture and then growing my game through that culture. Shout out to Charlton Young, for real, at Missouri. That really changed how I looked at basketball. And the way they did that, I got able to learn how to be a professional, not just basketball, but in business as well. You know what I'm saying? After basketball. But that was that Georgia Tech experience. And I thank God for it. My mama made sure I made that right decision. Shout out to Angela Mark.
Who were some of your favorite teammates when you were at Tech? Because back in those were the glory days of Georgia Tech basketball. Like, who were some of your favorite teammates and some of the most memorable one-on-one battles that you had? Because I know, like, being in the ACC back in those days, I tell people all the time, and like, this ACC now is not quite the same ACC that I grew up on.
Hell no, it ain't.
It seemed like it was way more physical back then. It was way more like in your face. It was real. You saw the elbow that Tyler Hansbrough took from Gerald Henderson. Like the ACC back in those days when you played, and even before that, in my childhood days with Rodney Monroe at NC State and, you know, Donald Williams at UNC, bro. Like, I was a Georgia Tech fan. People don't know this. I'm a Duke guy now. But back then, for me, it was Kenny Anderson. Like, I wore number 12 in high school because of Kenny. Stephon Marbury came through. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, who was some of your favorite Yellow Jackets that you saw before you even got there that made you want to go there? And then who ended up being some of your favorite teammates?
I tell you, going back, Dennis Scott, of course, Chills, Kenny Anderson, still my homie. All these guys. Dennis Scott still helped me with the broadcaster, like with being in the media. He's still like that with me. That's my big homie for life. His son is my little homie. Ryan Scott,
he's
like 6'9"
now, ain't he?
Yeah, that's his other son. That's his youngest son. That's my little homie too. Yeah,
youngest son can shoot that thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you, all of them got it. You know what I'm saying? I tell you, Stephon Marbury, of course. He made it look cool to go to Georgia Tech.
Yes, you know, Kenny Anderson, the New York City guards. Man, it was what a time.
Yeah, Kenny Anderson, he was. I'm younger, so I remember seeing him destroy Duke. I know you're a Duke fan, but I saw him destroy Bobby Hurley.
I was like 11. That was 90, I think. So I was a 10. I think I was like 10. I was a Kenny Anderson made me cheer for Georgia Tech. Him, Lethal Weapon 3, Dennis Scott. Matt Geiger days, like, bro, they made Travis Best. A lot of people sleep on Travis Best in the Georgia Tech conversation.
They don't need to. It's weird. It's guard nation, bro.
The rifle, what was his nickname, bro? Travis Best was the, I think it was.
It was something like the rifle.
Yeah, I think he was from Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, he from up north. He from up top. He from way up top. But Travis Best was crazy, bro.
For a long time.
Hell yeah, that's the thing, bro. Like Stephon Marbury, you know, Dennis Scott, those guys, you know, Jerry Jack, you know, if you go get older, you know, when I was in high school, so I was like Will Bynum. You know what I mean? BJ Elder. When they went to the chip.
Shout out to my guy Mikey Jess. He was a co-host several times from Chicago. I did an all-time Chicago Hoopers, right? And Mikey Jess had Will Bynum. He told stories. I didn't really see Will Bynum in high school because he was out of our area, but they said Will Bynum is one of the greatest high school players ever, bro.
And look, I don't know. I would tell you something. I can't tell the story. You know, as a freshman, that was the, you know, you in suites when you have the athlete suites. I can't tell you all the stories about my brother like that in a good way. I can't say everything, but I'm going to tell you. 2:00 in the morning, knock on my door. Hey, let's go work out right now. All right, come on. We're going to the gym. It's close. We in the arena. It's dark. We playing 1-on-1 full. After we leave that, McDonald's up the street from Georgia Tech. If you're from Atlanta, you know where that McDonald's at. That's by Georgia Tech. Get 2 fish fillets after we work out. You feel like you got better? That's what he telling me. Yeah, I feel like I got better. You got to guard me. I got to guard you. So watch how you play next time they put you in the game. And that's when I wasn't really playing a lot. That's that work ethic mentality I tell them kids you got to take yourself to.
Ooh.
You got to be different. Those the guys, Jared Jack, he in the gym randomly. And Jared to us was like Stephon Marbury at the time. You know what I mean?
Hey,
I mean,
Jared Jack is so fucking underrated. Like, he was one of the best Georgia Tech players, ACC point guards I ever seen.
Hey, bro, Jared, I'm going to tell you something, but that's my big bro.
His IQ is, hey, that's why he's such a good coach. His IQ is incredible.
I'm going to tell you a real quick story. Jared was like, this is the first game I got real time. We played Kansas, and it was like, we were ranked third. They was ranked number one in the nation. We was in Kansas. First time I seen as many people at a game.
Who's y'all starting for?
Jared, BJ, Ishmael, ooh, Tony McHenry. You know, Dub dunk on everybody.
Yeah.
Ishmael Muhammad.
Ishmael Muhammad is one of the greatest dunkers. Yes.
All of these guys still my big brother to this day. Ishmael Muhammad and Luke Shenshin, you know, big Sam too. He had a stint in the league for a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I remember BJ, he messed up his hamstring. So they threw me in. And I went in the game and I was like, in my mind, I'm like, I don't care about none of that. Like, I'm going at whoever guarded me. That's when they had like Keith Langford. I forgot the guard name. That's my brother. I love him too. At Kansas. But they were really good. They was number one. And it was on TV. And I scored like 5 straight points. I had a 3, I had a 2, and then I hit another 2 or something like that. And we was running the play and Jared was taking the ball out because he was gonna get the ball back. And I just stood in front of him like, give me the ball because I'm ready to score. He was like, get your ass over there and go over there and run this play. Run this play right now. Run this play, bubba. And I really ran the play. You know what I'm saying? But, like, that's what Jared is to me. And, like, man, I love that. That's my big bro. I love him so much, man. Hey, man, Will. And Will, that was getting me dunked on somebody all crazy, ESPN. You know what I mean? That was like, one of the best times of my life, just being in that. You know what I'm saying? That element. Them guys had just came from the chip. They should have beat UConn. They had a bunch of injuries. Man, yeah, but like
they had, that was a great, yeah. That was Okafor. That's when UConn had Okafor.
They had Okafor. They had Ben Gordon. You know, those guys. Ben Gordon. Yeah, bro. It was rough. But I was in high school. I committed in 11th grade. I saw them. I said, look, man, I want to go there. And then like Paul Hewitt, all of them. I'm like, man, them, my people to this day. And it was just really like a great experience, bro. Educationally and athletically. Real talk, bro.
So we just saw the Basketball Hall of Fame, man. We saw the Basketball Hall of Fame. Some legendary, iconic players went into the hall. D-Wade, my guy. As my dad would say, Wade is in the Hall of Fame, man. Dirk Nowitzki, Tony Parker, Pau Gasol, y'all. His name is Pau. For everybody listening to the Some Dude Show, it is not Paul. His name is not Paul. A lot of black people have been butchering his name for years, man. His name is Pau. But, Ant, I want to get your expertise because you played against some of these guys. They were like in your same division when you was at OKC, I think. Like, you had a lot of games against Dirk, Tony Parker, Pau Gasol, even D-Wade. Like, what are some of your memories of this Hall of Fame class? Like, seeing them, having a courtside seat, and going against them and competing against these guys.
Well, I tell you, bro, like, D-Wade, whenever I get asked, every time I'm out, bro, they ask me who the hardest player, they always assume is Kobe. And shout out, Kobe was more like the Michael Jordan of my life than Michael Jordan. I never got to play against Mike. And Mike is Mike to me. We from North Carolina. You know how we feel about Mike.
Yeah, Mike is.
And I know how you feel about. I know how you feel about Bron. Don't get me wrong. And I get it. That's another conversation to have, bro. But you know, but Kobe was more of that to me because I got to see him from a kid to, you know, his demise. God bless when he passed away. But I tell people all the time, D-Wade was the hardest person I ever guarded in my life. And I couldn't hide from it because they wasn't going to put me on. I'm not the defensive special. I couldn't move them puppies, like you say, like everybody else. So they wouldn't put me on D. They wouldn't put me on Bron.
And could you sleep the night before the D-Wade matchup? You said you could. You
nah,
you
I could not.
Not sleeping well.
I, I could not sleep before I had to guard Dwayne Wade, bro. Because in his
what was it about his game? Was it like the slipperiness around the pig, so just a herky jerky, or just his first step?
Bro, his first step, he was elusive. You couldn't figure out the pick and roll, and then you down his Haslam. I'm talking about this is when he was still like a heavy. Udonis Haslam and Nick Collison. Nick Collison is like my dude, Udonis Haslam when I was with LKC. They just know when you finna do something to make sure you open. And Udonis was like that with him. And Shaq was too, but Udonis was perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, Powell was like that with Kobe. Powell was like that with Kobe. But Kobe got him like that.
You saying that two-man, you know, game, they had that chemistry in that two-man game that was just unstoppable.
Bro, hell yeah. Like, I'm talking about, like, calculated. You can't get over the screen. You can't go under.
Just you got to go over the screen. Like the angle. The angle,
D-Wade, Udonis Haslam, D-Wade, Shaq, LeBron, when he got there with their chemistry, boy, that shit was crazy.
With Birdman. I'm talking like, Bron and Birdman's an underrated Birdman,
all them guys had the timing so perfect. I could imagine playing against Fro Kobe when they won the first championship against Indiana.
With Shaq sitting on screen.
Bro, this is what they don't talk about, this kind of shit. I'm like, bro, you can't understand what I had to go through going and guard D-Wade. Because they wasn't going to put me on LeBron because we had small forwards. I wasn't going to guard Mario Chalmers. That's my brother. Shout out to him, Evan Shuffler. That's my brother. I love you, man, if you listen. But it was hard to guard that shit. I had to be on D-Wade. Now, I would score like 24, 25. I'd get off. But they'll beat us by like 30. And I had to guard that. It changed me. I'm like, okay, now I got to learn. I'm writing shit down after the game. Like, how to guard a pick and roll, how to tell the kids to guard it. He was so elusive. He was so special when it came to when he get the ball. And I knew that when he was at Marquette because I watched him his whole career. But he a special dude, bro. He deserve all that. I always felt like D-Wade was a little bit, like, underrated. You know what I'm saying? Like, we talking about Mike, Kobe. Who else the best shooting guard? They compared him.
You got to put D-Wade at number three as far as shooting guards.
It's real talk, bro. He was a different guy. He wasn't as skilled as a Kobe or even as a Mike, but he was more like Mike than a Kobe. Kobe is on some different stuff, but they start saying him and Clyde Drexler. I love Clyde Drexler, but I'm like, hey, bro, you put them in their prime? Come on, bro, what we talking about?
So how was it going against Tony Parker, man? Because y'all saw the Spurs in a lot of matchups, I think several playoff matchups. Tony Parker, when you speak of underrated point guards, you can say, how can a guy be underrated but make the Hall of Fame? But I feel like throughout Tony Parker's playing career, he was always mentioned behind several other point guards. You know, even with all-star appearances, he should have made even more all-star teams. I feel like he is the reason Duncan is the engine, but I feel like Tony Parker was always the catalyst to those Spurs dynasties, like all those rings they got. Like, how was it like trying to go against him too? Because he was hell with those paint touches, the floater game, his change of pace. Chris Paul once told me one time in person at his camp, I said, yo, Chris, who's the hardest guy to guard in the league right now? This was like 10 years ago. And he said, you know what? A lot of people would think it would be like a Ty Lawson or a guy that Raymond Felton or a guy that plays straight line the whole time. But he said, bro, like a guy like Tony Parker with that change of pace and he's just so quick, the spin moves. Like, what was it like playing against TP3?
Tony Parker?
Yeah, Tony Parker.
Nah, bro, I'm going to tell you, bro. Like, he controlled the whole. Bro, you know, we had to beat them to get to the Western Conference Finals. Thank you. We had to beat them to get to the Western Conference Finals. This was OKC. But before that, we always played against them. And it wasn't about nothing with athleticism. When I was in OKC, bro, Tony Parker controlled the entire game. At his size, that's incredible, bro. I'm talking about get downhill, stop a play, bring it back out, run the play again, look at the clock, look back at the clock, see who always, who over there, who over here. Okay, bring them up here. Let's do the pick and roll. He's like, it's like a maestro, bro, a maestro. excuse me, it's like a maestro, bro. You know what I'm saying? He get downhill, you know he got the mid-range. He gonna find whoever open, but his mid-range game and his float game was crazy. And then you got Tim Duncan and Manu sitting over there. What are we gonna do?
Man, team, I was watching film the other day of Parker just like, you know, going into the Hall of Fame. I was just having some nostalgic moments. I was watching TP and I was watching them against the Miami Heat that series. And I just say, man, shout out to Mario Chalmers and Norris Cole, but God bless those brothers, man. Like,
man, yo, boy, that was an issue.
Bro, the Miami Heat would have pretty much had 3 out of 4 rings if it wasn't for those Spurs teams.
Bro, I didn't think, bro, you know, that the first year I went to the playoffs was with OKC. And I saw their culture. And I was like, I couldn't imagine seeing, you know, we went off, like, people had to beat them off athleticism. Like, Miami beat them off athleticism. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bron turning to Bron. D-Wade is D-Wade. And Chris Bosh is, you know what I mean? You had to know how to beat them because you can't just go into San Antonio. That's all they got in San Antonio.
It's the Spurs.
You coming there and see? It's the Spurs. Boy, them folks, bro, them folks coming there. And they know you coming from like whatever. Oh, everybody Hollywood, they don't give a fuck. They had to play against the Lakers all them years. They had to play against, you know, the Sonics back in the day, like all that. Like, they don't look at it like that. They're like, we got ours here. That's what made me so like in love. And, you know, I love playing for Oklahoma City because they have the same pedigree as a city and as an organization.
Did it feel like in OKC and the Spurs, like playing there on the road and playing home for the Thunder? Like you said, was it like a college environment pretty much? It felt like a college.
Toronto. Yes.
So I went to Toronto to the finals in 2019, and that felt like a college atmosphere. It was crazy.
Absolutely, bro. And you got to understand, with Wimby going to San Antonio, with Oklahoma City, with what they building on right now with Shea. Shout out to everybody that I love, everybody in Oklahoma City and the organization. Shout out to Sam Presti, everybody that's there. And everybody that groomed and went other places and stuff that came from that culture. Hell yeah, bro. It's like when you thinking to build off that and you see it, I'm looking at everything like, you got to come and look at what happened before. And now you see what's going on. That's what the NBA is supposed to really be about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what it's supposed to go towards.
Yo, we having some technical difficulties, y'all. Damon Stoudemire, I seen him in the bullpen, but for some wild reason, it's not letting me add anybody else. So we might have to reschedule Damon Stoudemire. I know y'all wanted to hear from Mighty Mouse, man. The head coach, Georgia Tech. We had a lot to talk about. We're going to get him on here eventually. I don't know what's happening with it. I see him on the screen here, but it's just not pulling him up, y'all. I got so many. How you feel about the hire and your alma mater? They bringing in Damon Stoudemire, a brilliant basketball mind. He was in the NBA coaching with the Celtics previously. Now he's in Atlanta. How do you feel about the culture change that's happening in at your alma mater, GT?
Super perfect hire. I'm so glad that he got that job, man. You know, he was a guy I was hoping he came in and I could talk to him because I remember when he got drafted to the Raptors and he had his shoes on. My mama, she went and got them Nikes. And, you know, he's a
real shit.
I swear to God, my mama go hit it. She remember she got me. I called him the Damon Stoudemire. They was the Nike.
Damon Stoudemire.
You know, they had the patent leather on the side, black and red with the right. Yeah, yeah. I'm a sneaker guy. So, like, my mama bought me those, and I was like, you know, I watched them because, like, him and Allen Iverson, you know, those are the guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then when I say he's left-handed, I try to make myself left-handed. You talking about chores, bro.
Yo, come on, lie. Bro. It's funny you say that because this is my high school era. When I was in high school, these were my guys. Damon Stoudemire came through 95 draft. Iverson is my top two favorite player ever. Him and Braun, my favorites ever. But Iverson was my favorite when I was in high school, bro. Like, those guys, the small guards. I was a smaller guard. So, like, that was like Iron Man and Wolverine and our Superman. Like, me. Guys my size. Like, Damon Stoudemire, the craftiness, getting into the lane. I think he's going to really change the culture at GT because it used to be point guard heaven. Like, it used to be point guard university for so long. The Marberries, like we said, the Kenny Andersons, Jared Jacks, Bynums, the list goes on and on. Drew Barry, John Barry. I can just remember so many guys off my head.
Like, got the guys. Iman Shumpert. That's Iman, my brother, my little Shumpert, brother. These man, guys. For guys.
You got Jose Alvarado.
And Jose Alvarado. Guy. That's my little brother. That's like, my baby brother. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like the tide is turning, man. So we just want to see Damon get in there because – ACC basketball, it's a wide open playing field now. I feel like it's wide open right now.
Man, I feel so great that Mouse got that job, bro. Damon Stoudemire, thank God that he got that. It's turning it around. We talked about all the legendary guys, like point guards, you know, that came through that. Now he get that position right now. He deserved that. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to be able to recruit. He's going to bring a staff in that can recruit. And he's going to be able to have enough confidence to go get, okay, Anthony Edwards not going to Georgia. He's coming to Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that. You feel me, bro? Go get the boy that's right there in the seventh grade. He's coming up here with us. We ain't going over there. He with us. Because we got everything.
They have the amenities. Do you think it's a disconnect, Ant, where a lot of the younger kids in this generation – I think they need a history lesson on the Kenny Andersons because that's way before their time. So outside of YouTube, a lot of these high school players now that's in 9th, 10th grade, they weren't outside. They weren't even born yet when Kenny Anderson, those glory days, like I remember, or even the Stephon Marbury era. So I think the toughest task is going to be trying to restore the tradition with guys like yourself, like everybody we mentioned. So I think everybody's going to have to play a part and building that basketball tradition at Georgia Tech again. Because I'm going to tell you the funniest story. When I was 11 years old, that was the year that Kenny Anderson, the Lethal Weapon 3, went to the Final Four, lost to UNLV. I cried. I cried, bro. This is where you can ask my pops. I cried. Sure, sure. The second time cried, I got a Georgia Tech hat. The Georgia Tech hat from Sportsman's World, a local hat shop, sports apparel store. I wore the hat to the trenches and to play basketball with my cousins. I'm like 10, 11 years old, bro. Birthday, got a Georgia Tech hat. I get to the park. I sit down my Georgia Tech hat, bro. I go play some ball, bro, a couple minutes. I come back and get my hat. Look, my hat vanished, bro. So I'm looking around for 30 minutes, and I come to the realization that somebody stole my fucking Georgia Tech hat. So I was scared to tell my pops because he spent $35. This is back in like 1990-91, bro. On that Georgia Tech.
That's when it was jumping. That's when it was the real ACC.
When it was jumping. I'm gonna post a picture on my Instagram after this show of me blowing out my birthday cake with that hat on. So for anybody who say, man, you won't know Georgia Tech fan back then, Kenny Anderson. Bro, I had the white tape. Remember how Kenny Anderson wore the white tape on his wrist, bro?
Bro, listen, I was a student before I went to Georgia Tech. Real shit. But it was more Steph than Kenny. But Kenny was the guy.
Man, can we talk about Georgia Tech, Stephon Marbury? Because people see him in China now. A lot of the young kids, they see him over in China doing his stuff. You know, he got a statue, everything. Legend. But when Marbury decided to go to Georgia Tech, that's when Iverson was at Georgetown. That was a big deal for Georgia Tech to get that guy at that time.
Bro, the day they played against each other, Georgia Tech versus Georgetown. Now, you remember this. I'm going back into some shit. Listen, bro, real shit. I had to, excuse my language, I don't know. But
now, we on the Some Dude Show. It's 100% live.
All right, fuck it then. Hey, listen. I remember watching them with their fades, and I watched them play one-on-one. Shout out my big cousin, Adrian Morrow. I'm shouting them out. Real shit. My grandma passed away, Dosha May Morrow. We in the projects. And I'm looking at the game, and I saw them. And I had to cut my hair like that. I was going. I'm like, you know what I'm talking about, bro? Like, bro had to, You know what I'm saying? Got the J's on. Steph got the Nikes on. Like, they fly. Like, I'm like, they going to change the league. Like, that's what the NBA finna be. Like, that's what the NBA is going to look like. You know what I'm saying? And I saw Steph. You know, Steph got right to left. Get to the cup. You know what I'm saying? Flashy passes. Make threes.
Stephon Marbury's elevation on his jump shot, even at Georgia Tech in college. Like, he was, like, at least 7 feet off the ground, it seemed like.
Yes. Real talk. You know, Steph used to come to Georgia Tech and work out, but he'd never let nobody know when I was there. Because I worked out late just to try to see Steph come work out, just to work out with him. Like, my workout regimen was all the stuff with the team stuff and the individuals, and then I go work out 2-3 times after that. Be 2 o'clock in the morning. I got to call the Georgia Tech security. They know. You over there at the gym? Yeah. Take me back to my dorm, please. They ain't want me to walk 15 minutes. So we'll just drive you 5. You know, I mean, that's kind of work. That's the kind of work I'm telling my kids and with my AAU team and the young guys in the league and in college are that say they want to be good. Steph used to be in that month.
You said Steph. Like, yeah, you said Steph used to be in there at what time? Well,
Stephon Marbury used to be in there 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning working out with his own people. He didn't want nobody around. They'll tell me, Steph just came when you left. That's the security people telling me that. They were like, you had just left. It was like 2:30 in the morning. That's after my third workout, after the individuals and after the practice and after everything I already did. You know what I'm saying? I came back. You got to take yourself somewhere else. You know me, Cubs, bro. I ain't get drafted. You know what I'm saying? I tell them, you got to have that.
Let's talk about that for a second, because you had moments at Georgia Tech. You went undrafted. And the grind you had to get to, like the gauntlet you had to go through to become a 10-year vet, you went to the summer league. And at that time, you had the summer league record. Like, you would destroy shit at the summer league. Tell people the stories, because we got a lot of young people listening. We got hoopers listening. The podcast is global now. This is inspiration, because like you see now with Austin Reeves, right? Undrafted. Now he on the Lakers. Just got the bag. Looking amazing for Team USA, by the way, Austin Reeves. Mm-hmm. Your story is very similar, because you came out of Georgia Tech undrafted, went to the summer league. What was your mentality when you went to that summer league? I know you was anxious, you had anxiety probably, like, man, but at the same time, you was probably ready to prove yourself.
Bro, I'm gonna tell you like this, bro.
What was your scoring high? What was the summer league record that you broke? What was the exact number?
It was 47.
47 in the summer league.
Yeah, and I should have had like 70.
I remember watching that game too. Like, I was like, yo, that's my guy. Like, it's funny because they called me some dude. I already knew you could do that. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I was in the trenches watching those ACC games. So it's like when you're in ACC country, it's a lot of hidden gems from ACC schools that might not be the first or second option, but they pros. You know, it's like, it's all about opportunity, right? Like, you would say you got the golden opportunity in summer league.
Oh, like, bro, I'm gonna tell you, like, I rock with your whole like vision, because not just, I'm biased because you're from North Carolina, of course. We from North Carolina. I'm gonna tell you though, bro. Like, with me, it was like, I'm gonna give you some golden shit. My mama was like, you gonna get a job or a trade if you don't make it out of Georgia Tech until you fulfill your business degree and your English degree, which I've done. And she was like, you gonna work at Bojangles or you gonna take care of this basketball shit? Cause I've been believing in you since you was a baby. And I say, Mom, I'm gonna get it. You know what I'm saying? I signed to go to Ukraine, bro, for $80,000. And I end up signing with the Warriors. I had to go through 3 summer leagues. Miami, shout out to my agent, Wallace Prater. Miami, Vegas, and Utah. And I got MVP in Utah. That's how I got my opportunity. That's the kind of mindset I'm trying to put on these little homies. You have to have that mentality. Because if you don't have it where you feel like you're putting yourself somewhere else mentally, when you come to this work with basketball, nobody's going to take you serious. You know what I'm saying? And it's harder
now. It's the same approach I have with this media shit and me being somebody that's a disruptor. Like, I just always feel like I'm going to create my own momentum, and I'm never going to take no for a fucking answer. Like, y'all can't stop me. It's destined.
Bro, that's what you are, bro. You always been that. Bro, like, you always been that, and you are that. Like, you the culture. You the fucking culture, bro. Who the fuck gonna tell you you're not the culture, bro? You giving people platforms, you already have a platform. I told you before, we talked on the phone. Way I said, back. Man, you should have been doing this. You was camming them.
I think you, there you go.
I'm back. You hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, nigga, but yeah, bro, you that now. You know what I'm saying? You folks don't give a fuck. It is what it is. But I'm telling you, that's what it was, man. Can you hear me?
That's like some real welcome to death row shit, man.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. We might get one of them calls anytime.
It's always been my mentality, Ant, where it's like, I sit back sometimes and I kind of laughed at myself and chuckled because I'm like, 10 years ago, I never aspired to say, I'm going to be in the media. I'm going to actually be a media guy. I'm going to get respected as a media person, a journalist. But then I realized, like, I'm going to tell you when it happened, when the whole LeBron going to LA thing, and they had my tweets on SportsCenter for a whole week. And I'm like, it made me realize that summer was when it resonated, where I'm like, yo, they the dead battery and I'm the jumper cables. Because, like, just like you've seen in recent weeks, and even Stephen A. Smith last week, like, putting me on his podcast, my tweets and stuff, and it's like, I'm going to keep it real. Like, sometimes I feel like the media can't breathe without some of my ideas or my original thoughts, and it's like, yeah, we got to be compensated heavily for that, because if Pat McAfee can get the bag because he got Aaron Rodgers on his show once a week, or, you know, different guys had these platforms where we look at them like, I'm saying, other people look at them like they superheroes. At the end of the day, like you said, we are the culture, bro. Because it's a reason why they taking our content and putting on their platform. But the gatekeepers, like we say, the gatekeepers, they don't invite us on their platforms. They might mention it. They just started mentioning my actual name and alias, bro. Like, for so long, that's why we call this the Some Do Show, y'all, for everybody that's listening that's new. It's called the Some Do Show because people in the media say, oh, he's just some dude. You just some dude. So I took it and I made a mockery of it, where I'm just some dude, but at the same time, I'm a force to be reckoned with, bro.
Well, so I swear to God.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, I swear to, I was just going to say, I swear to God, you never been some dude, bro. You always been a student of the game when it comes to basketball. I see Youngin', his work ethic, your work ethic. You never been just some dude. I love how you turn that. And I want all the listeners to listen. I love what you turned, what they said, into what you're doing now. That's what we supposed to be locked in on. You feel me? On God, bro. That's what it means. That's what it means, bro. Like, they told me I was going to be a drug dealer or be in jail or dead at 17 years old. I told them about 18.
Are you from Charlotte?
It's West Boulevard, West Boulevard of Charlotte, but it's like Compton or something in the 90s. Back then, and if they know, they listening, it was like that. So, like, to do this and have my kids already set up for everything and do what I'm doing now, what you doing now, you gonna turn that shit up forever. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to do what you doing. I mean, I got a podcast. Like,
that's
it's real
that's
shit.
That's why we here. That's why we here.
Shit. That's why we here right now. That's why we here right now, bro. You feel me? Fuck what they talk about. I don't care about that. Them folks know their days is coming to an end.
They days is number, man. The shot clock is ticking. The jig is hovering.
Man, the jig might be up. Goddamn, by now. I wouldn't say the jig might be up in the few, goddamn it.
Because now people. We're going to take a caller, man. We got right. Let me see it. Right, look, Rello. Right, look, Rello. Unmute your mic.
Bet it up.
We live on Ant, man. Ant Morrow, 10-year vet, Some Dude Show, man. How you doing tonight? Where you calling from?
What's good, Cuffs? What's good, Ant?
Before you ask your question or comment, what's your career high, Rello? What's your career high? We got to ask the career high when you come on to Some Dude Show.
Well, here's some background. I went to St. Benedict's Prep. I'm sure both of y'all know that. I played with Smarto Samuels. I played with Corey Stokes. I played with a few guys. Lance Thomas.
Jersey.
Like Big Jersey, Newark, New Jersey. Yeah. Went on to play to a small mid-major NJIT Division One. My high in Division One basketball was 28 points. I got to it a little bit. In high school, I was more of a defensive player, but I had to learn how to score. I don't really have a question for Ant or for Cuffs. I just want to be part of the conversation. I feel like Ant was spitting some game, man. Like
hell yeah.
From the inner city, having to grind and be where we are today, it's like a blessing, man. And you know, Anthony, you were able to make a hell of a career, man. Sniper for sure.
So.
But me and my boys, we started our own podcast live on AMP every Sunday at 11 a.m. Just trying to talk about, you know, NBA culture, basketball culture, and bring some integrity to the NBA media. Feel like a lot of these old folks and a lot of these Twitter guys, they want to, you know, just shit on players and shit on the game. And we want to bring some more light to the game. I mean, we want to talk about things with facts and you know, the business side of it and all that stuff. So I appreciate you giving me the platform to kind of speak on that.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate you pulling up, man. That's what we do here, bro. It's just dialogue. I agree with you, man. It feels like when I watch the shows now, to be honest with you, I don't even really watch the shows. I get up in the morning. I work out. I turn on First Take or I turn on Skip Bayless or whatever, right, when he was on. And I would put their show on mute, right, while I'm working out or something. And the whole joke is I just want to see the dumb shit they talking about. Like, what's the narrative today? Like, Mount Rushmore. Like, every day is Mount Rushmore or, you know, some way to take a shot at LeBron. Like, bro, it's like, that's why, like Ant was saying, the Some Do Show was created off that premise where it's like, we the culture, bro. And I see a lot of guys, they really thirsty for content now because I know a lot of stories behind the scenes and these production rooms, man, there's no sauce in there, bros. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no sauce. There's no culture in a lot of these rooms, man. So that's why you see them talk about, even in the offseason, even before football season came around, the topics are Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady when he was playing, the Dallas Cowboys, LeBron James every single day. Man, LeBron is on a yacht, man. Like, I seen a meme today, Michael Jordan, LeBron. I'm like, yo, when are we going to give it a rest? Like, those are the two best basketball players we've ever seen, no matter who you got first or second. We never seen nothing like Mike. We're never going to see nothing like Braun. And the conversation is pretty much ended right there. We can, you know, you can have fun with it in the barbershop. But I agree with you, man. A lot of the rhetoric now is just regurgitated information. A lot of dog abbeys. You know, Elon Musk paying Twitter now. He paying people to be on Twitter. So you're going to see a lot more shock value on Twitter now. A lot of people just really reaching. I see it already. I've started to see it in the last week or so since the Twitter payout started. I've been seeing it.
Man, listen, that's real talk, bro. That's real talk.
I've been seeing it. So how do y'all feel about James Harden, man? We saw that today. What's going on with James, man?
Did you play with James at OKC?
Nah, I was there after. He was in Houston.
He was there after. But you had a lot of games against James. My question to y'all right here, we live on Ant. We got Ant Morrow, special co-host, Mental Health Mondays on the Some Dude Show. I just want to ask the question, what is going to make James Harden happy? Like, you seen him up close. We've seen him in OKC. We've seen him in Houston. We've seen him in Brooklyn. Now he's in Philly. It seems like he's always unhappy. Like, what do you think is the right fit, the perfect fit? I just want to see James happy at this point because it's like he's always unhappy, like 3 or 4 teams the last couple years. When is he going to be happy, man?
Bro, it's leverage. Like, I'm going to give you an example. Kyrie Irving, he don't want to be in Dallas. I'm going to just say it. He want to be in L.A., with Bron, and they gonna win the championship if he's there. If they can keep AD, they'll win the championship. The leverage that these owners are taking advantage of. These guys don't have it no more. Kevin Durant, I love my brother. All of my brothers, I love all of them. You don't have the leverage that a guy like LeBron has. They waiting for LeBron to retire to see who's gonna be that next guy. It's gonna be Giannis.
You just made the greatest point I've heard in a long time.
It's real shit.
You said what I've been telling people for years, there's only one guy in the league until he retires. LeBron will always have the leverage. LeBron can be in year 25 and he will still dictate where he gets to play, bro, who his teammates are. And it's like that comes with the body of work and the equity that LeBron has. KD is kind of close to that same leverage, but that's a great fucking point you just made about who's going to be the next guy with the leverage in the NBA.
The only thing with bro, and I love my brother KD, is durability. Luka is young. Nikola Jokic is young. Joker is young. Kind of Joel, his durability is kind of in question. Look, bro, it's real shit. Ja, when he get back right off all the dumb shit that's going on, he a baby. I understand. But he got to get his mind right. They going to want to come play with. Who want to come play with somebody that's already a superstar? Ain't nobody other than Bron is number one. Who else? That's like Mike right now or Kobe.
Yeah.
You know what they going to be on. You feel me? Or Giannis. They right there. You feel me? They coming to play with them guys. He going to play every day. He going to show us his example how to be a pro on and off the court. And then we going to get examples of being a businessman around him because all the business people around him with the owners are always going to be around us. And I got to stay around them. Think about it. It's bigger than just being on the court and being on TV on Christmas. Oh, God. That's so real life.
So you think it's a leverage play from James because he can kind of feel that his ego is telling him, that's what I feel is happening. This is 2017 and 2018 James Harden ego. He's not the same player he was like a couple years ago.
Bro, we keep it a bean. Bro ain't the same guy.
Keep it spicy. We on the Some Dude Show. Keep it spicy.
Look, James my homie too. On real shit at this point in his career. You don't have the leverage to do the shit that them guys can do. I ain't trying to overtalk y'all, man. I want to hear y'all.
Let's look at the overarching issue with James Harden, right? He was in Brooklyn, didn't take the extension, asked out to go to Philly. They asked him to take a pay cut last year. So when James Harden says Daryl Morey is a liar, that brings me back to that moment. He took a pay cut so they could round out the roster. And that leads me to believe that Daryl Morey was like, hey, man, take this pay cut now. We'll take care of you next year. And then Daryl Morey might have flipped on him and said, listen, we can't pay you $50, bro. We can't do it, bro.
Let me tell you what Daryl Morey did. Y'all want to hear this shit?
Yeah.
And I wasn't in them offices. I wasn't there. Daryl Morey probably said, you take a one-year deal, like all the or two-year deal like these other guys are doing. It's the reason Stephen Curry is different than everybody. Everybody is different stratosphere with Stephen Curry and guys like that. Damian Lillard, it controlled. He's staying away from this kind of shit that like James doing right now. He wanted him to say, listen, I'll do anything you need to do to get you to the Clippers. And when he didn't do it, he went to China where he knew Daryl Morey and himself from the Rockets, because there's a huge following in China, to say, you know what? He's a liar, blah, blah, woody woop. Now you saying that shit, you knew that shit 3 years ago. Stop playing around, bro. You should have been forced to say, why did you come? You came there because you knew you could be comfortable with Daryl Morey. Now Daryl Morey is like, you ain't the same player. Now he's a liar. Come on, bro. Like, you know you're not the same player. And he knows it. Now he a businessman. Now what are we doing now? Now I say, look, they don't give me what I want. You're going to stay here. We're going to win the championship with Joel. Now Joel and B say, you know what? I want to go to the Warriors. I want to help Steph win the championship. I want to go, if Dame don't get traded, I want to figure out a trade to get to Portland or some shit. I want to go to Boston.
Miami.
You know what I'm saying? Or Miami. Anything. Think like it's real shit. Now in the media, it's like, these players is trying to force it and it's divas and shit. I'm like, nah, bro. Boys really want to win. They're not just making money. They're gonna make money anywhere they go anyway. They can stay with it.
That's the question, and do you think that's always been my thing? Do y'all think James Harden really wants to sacrifice for the team, does he really want to be the second or third option? He's going to be the second option playing with Joel in Philly. But does he want to sacrifice, move the puppies, get in shape, go train with the Navy SEALs, go train with Body by Jake, Billy Blanks? I need to see you get in shape, James. James Harden can still give you 30 or 40 as he showed us in the playoffs against Boston, right? But
he can do it.
He runs out of gas. He's out of shape.
Yeah, no, I think him staying in Philly is going to be right. But I don't like what he did with calling out Daryl Morey. That's your guy.
He did it.
That man that made you a billionaire. And you did it out there. I just explained to y'all what that shit is. I said, look, he should stay there. You know what I'm saying? If you don't stay there, bro, what you doing?
What you doing?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, if you're not going somewhere, like that's if it's like a guy like Tyrese Halliburton or somebody like De'Aaron Fox saying, I want to go to the Bulls or the Warriors. I can help them. We can get to the finals. Them boys young. Boy, you know what time it is with you. They know your reputation. Boy, if you don't go there, you got to win that. You got to win with them now.
You got to win.
It's not like you got to win now. It's not like we waiting and we just. And then you call that out, like, bro, that's your dog from Houston. Come on,
I feel like James Harden is losing more and more leverage every playoff series he flames out from here on out.
Oh God, bro.
My guy, Chaz, man. Welcome to the Some Dude Show.
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks. Hey, I think the situation with James Harden is just, you know how you got an unhappy single person and they get married and they're still unhappy. I think this is more. I don't think any situation that he gets in, he's going to be happy. I think that's something that has to do with him, some type of personal stuff that's going on. Again, I'm from Long Beach, California. He went to school out here in Lakewood, Artesia. So I just think that, you know, and like you guys are saying, he's still not the same player. But and I wanted to ask you something, man. You know, because Cuffson helped me a lot. I was trying to coach the little kids in like the YMCA. And I know, and you played 10 years, and I think what I try to express to, like, I think a lot of people, especially when you get online, they think it's easy to make it to the league when it's not. They see somebody not playing, oh, I can do that, or he's a bum. What would you tell people like me? I would tell my old self now, like, I was taking 200 shots a day when I should have probably been taking 2,000. What would you tell somebody that thinks
We got you.
What would your advice be to tell a kid who's trying to think that he can make it to the league? What would your advice be as far as what it takes to make it there?
Well, first of all, I tell them to watch film, because now you got, you know, I used to have to get these, like the disc to put in to my PlayStation 2 to watch Kobe, to watch Ray Allen, to watch, you know, Reggie Miller, to watch Carmelo Anthony, to watch Kevin Garnett. So I tell them, get your ass online. Like, get online and watch on YouTube your favorite player. You like John Morant, you like Steph Curry. You like Anthony Davis? Do you like LeBron? Do you like any of these guys? Go look them up. It's right there on your phone. You own it anyway.
Yeah.
Watch them, screen record it, put it down, look at it when you work out. We didn't have that shit when we was growing up. Watch that now.
They got the cheat code now.
Yeah.
Right in your hand.
Look, bro, I sit down with my son. Who you want to watch today? My oldest son, Caden. Who you want to watch? Caden. Oh, Daddy, let's watch Kyrie Irving today. Okay, cool. Next day, let's watch Stephen Curry. Okay, let's watch Klay Thompson. And I can just pull up the goddamn laptop, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we ain't had that shit back then. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you can work on that. You want to work on it now in the backyard? We can do it now.
So, Ant,
you know what I'm saying?
Who was the shooter? Because I see a lot of Cal Corver in your game. Who was the shooter that you studied like that?
I got familiar with Kyle later. I say Ray Allen because Ray Allen. Ray
which
Allen.
Which version of Ray? All Ray Allen versions or no,
all of them. Even more. I was more enamored with the Seattle Supersonics Ray Allen, but
oh my God.
The Miami Ray Allen is when, you know, Ray got that mentality like Kobe, like, I'm going to do shit that y'all not going to do. That's why me and Kyle Korver still friends to this day. He's a GM now with the Hawks or whatever. Like, but, and that's my, those are my guys. Those are my big homies. But watching the work changed it because they knew they, like, I was always like the, you a raw shooter, but you can shoot the shit out of the ball.
That's how I was self-taught. I can go on the gun and hit 75, 80 out of 100 if you let me warm up for like 5 minutes. I was self-taught. I watched some videos, but like you said, y'all guys, how many reps was y'all getting in? Even in college, going into the league, how many reps are you getting in a day to be a world-class shooter like you was?
Bro, we talking about like, I'm rolling out of bed, we got 500 makes. Like, we ain't playing. That's easy work, bro. I got stories about that. If we got time, I can tell you.
We got all the time in the world. We live on
air. I got stories with Cal and Steph. And Steph is my baby brother, Stephen Curry, just to be clear. You know what I mean? Brother put me up on this, and I put it back up. And let me tell you something, man. We worked out, and we were both in the league already, but he was still in Golden State. I was in Jersey at the time. We was working out one summer, 10:30 in the morning. It's like 10 o'clock. We already done lifted weights, did everything. That's the kind of work you got to be committed to. We up at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm trying to get there before him. He trying to get there before me.
And y'all were in Charlotte.
We in Charlotte, North Carolina. Straight up, bro. This is young stuff. Before it was like Michael Jackson stuff.
This brush fade stuff.
He a baby. You know what I'm saying? Now he averaging 22. I played like my second year in the league was Steph's rookie year. And I told him, I got another story about that, but y'all want to get into it. I'm going to tell you about his work, though. So when I'm talking about the trainer after the workout, we already worked out in the gym. We done goddamn workout. And me and Steph, we done played pickup. And then we work out again on some shooting shit. After that, we sitting there, we taking our shoes off, and we gotta go. I just had my son, and my oldest son, and then nigga like, hey man, do y'all understand? Hey, edit out every time I say that. I'm sorry, bro. Like, hey bro, y'all made 80 shots in a row together, competing against each other. No, bro.
Hold on. You and Steph Curry, 80 bro. In a row, no misses?
Bro, listen. Hey, Cuff, listen to me. Cuffs, listen to me. On West Boulevard on 1-4, he said, and I was complaining about something about the gun going bad or some stuff over there, stuff about the lead. I'm sitting there. You know what I mean? This is like 2012, 2011, or something like that. No, Steph's still a baby. He's not the mogul he is now. At the time, he is fresh out of Davidson. He already was in the league. Like, I've been working out with Steph for years. We just never really posted nothing together. Like, that's why Steph do that kind of, like, Steph know what time it is. You feel me?
Yeah.
I told bro, I said, you know, we sit down, we talk, and then he like, man, I got to go. He just was, you know, him and Aisha, they doing their thing. And we live in the same area, you know, but we just, it was, you know, dinners, all that. That's my brother. That's my little brother for real. We just don't, it ain't no Instagram shit. That's my little brother in real life. In real life, to this day. Man, I sat down, I would take my shoes off and put my slides on, going to the crib. He said, man, you don't even understand. I said, man, why y'all move the thing? But I'm talking about this. He said, man, y'all made 80 shots in a row together. Competing against each other. You feel me? You got to take yourself there.
That's a different. That's a team. That's a team wolf zone, bro. That's a different.
No, bro.
How does that feel? I can run off, you know, I can run off a clip about 20, 25 in a row. I might miss a few, But how does that zone feel where you're hitting 40 or 50 in a row, 60, 70, 80 in a row?
Look, when I talk to Steph, bro, it don't be no conversation. I'm a recorder, nothing. And we talk about this kind of stuff. I talk to bro, and it's like, even losing Golden State together, like them workouts was like that all the time. You might make 40, 50 in a row. That was every day. You know what I'm saying? And it was competition. Cal Corb is like that. We'll be in practice after the practice, bro. After the practice, 2 hours. If I outshot him, he'll go to the arena and go shoot.
You know what's crazy about Cal Corbin? When he was at Creighton, people forget this, but when he was a player in college at Creighton, he wasn't just a stand in the corner, shoot threes, a specialist.
Hell no, he could score.
When he first came in the league with Philly, like when he played with Iverson and Iguodala and them guys, where Corver was could go get you a bucket. People don't understand how big he is.
Real 6'8".
He's like a real 6'8" guy out there shooting like that. So how did a guy like that, like yourself, like you was a bucket. People look at you as a shooter, but like you go back to like the summer league, right? You were getting buckets from everywhere. So what's the mentality when you got to kind of dumb your game down to play that role as being a specialist? Because there's guys in the league right now that can get 18 to 20 if they put the ball in their hands more. But like, how is it adjusting your ego to saying, you know what, I got to really be a professional?
See, I tell them babies all the time, bro, you got to hang your hat on something. I hung my hat on being a dead-eye shooter. I knew I was like, nobody can shoot better than me and nobody's working harder than me, but I know I can score. I'm talking about a nigga like Kobe Bryant didn't talk to me until like 6-7 years when I was in the league.
He didn't say nothing until like
Kobe
6-7 years.
Kobe didn't say a word to me until 5 or 6 years when I was in the league. He had a shot on him. You pat me on the back. You sharpshoot, motherfucker, blah, blah, blah. And then when he was done, when he was, you know, losing OKC, he was like, I'll post a picture after this and I'm going to tag y'all. Of course, I'm going to tag you. And he was like, you changed the game over time. I say, I didn't even know you was watching. He said, I've been watching everything. He said, Kevin Garnett did the same thing. Real talk, Ticket did the same thing. I watched you change the game over the whole time just off the work. Because when you think that you're going to be a pro, you have to hang your hat on something and then work on everything in between where nobody's looking.
Like find that niche. Just like niche.
Right. You got to find your niche. And then everything that's there is the Muhammad Ali mentality. And if you don't understand that, you can't be a pro. Nobody does anything and becomes a millionaire or a billionaire if you don't find your niche and then understand that you can change everything without nobody looking. You got to have that mentality. Nobody's looking. Nobody really cares. You care, make them come to you. You know what I'm saying? I was undrafted.
Who was some of those guys in those shootouts that you went neck and neck with? You said Steph, you said Cal Corver. How about a guy like Kevin Durant? Like I know you and KD had a lot of shootouts in OKC.
Yeah, we had workouts.
How was it like working out with K?
Shit, bro, I'm going to tell you like this, bro.
Because he seems like a guy that's no nonsense. No nonsense.
I'm going to tell you, bro. Kevin Durant, bro. That's my brother in real life. Shout out to Charlie Bell, his manager. That's my brother in real life. All of them over there, but KD could literally be averaging 34 for like 2 weeks. He'll tell me, hey, bro, let's work out together after practice. Because he know, like, Amo cares about making shots. You know, I might be averaging like 16 off the bench or whatever. All right, bro, I'm coming over now. Then we go find a hookah spot. You know what I'm saying? But cuz used to literally be on some shit like he missed 2 shots. And trip out. Fuck, Kevin. Kevin, come on. I'm like, bro, you're averaging 35, bro.
35.
What are you tripping on, bro? You're shooting 53% from the field, 38% from three. Like, they guarding you, like, blah, blah, blah. He's the best. Him and Steph. And Lou Will. Shout out to my brother, Lou Williams. Those guys to work out with are the best guys to work out with in my life. Because their mentalities, yeah, their mentalities. It's a CJ game, but KD number one. Him and Steph, like, 1A1B.
You can kind of see that residue on certain guys. If you just watch the way they play, like, Kevin is one of those guys. Chris Paul has always been one of those guys. I've seen him in the lab up close. Like, you see him now, 36, 37, still training. Yeah. Like, he's 21, 22. Like, go ahead.
I've never worked out with Chris. Chris is, you know, North Carolina. That's our guys. But he's like that, too. But I never worked out with him. But I seen the greatness of KD. You know what I'm saying? Like, the drill, he like, do this move. Like, let's match move for move. You know what I'm saying? So if it's like a between legs, behind the back, spin move, I'm doing all the shit he gonna do. You know what I'm saying?
You got so many open looks playing with a guy like him. Like,
I mean,
talk about that, like, always staying ready part. Like, we got shooters out here who don't understand the fundamentals, like, simple things. Like, I used to teach kids, having your hands ready, having your puppies ready, your feet ready. Like you said, Ray Allen earlier, if you go back and watch that Game 6 Miami Heat legendary shot that Ray Allen made to save the Heat season, if you look at the back pedal and the footwork without him looking down at his feet, catching the quick release, like, how many reps? Explain to the people, how many reps does that take? The muscle memory is insane.
Bro, I tell you, honest to God, bro, and I talked to Ray about this some years ago. When you talk about, like, you don't get in the game that day, or you might play, like, 2-3 minutes, you don't really get to get off because you're out the rotation at the time, and you go back to that gym for 4 hours and get 500 makes. That shot, bro, I did that 100. I made that part of my regimen. I made that part of my workout.
That back pedal.
That back pedal get your feet down. I tell the kids now, AMO training 4-5-6. AM training 4-5-6. All one word.
Talk about it.
I show them the footwork for everything with that. I'm like, you know, kids say they want to be shooters and they want to be able to score. I said, look, man, you know, between Ray Allen and Kobe Bryant, bro, Kobe Bryant and Ray Allen. I said, man, I ain't never learned more. But you got to really work on that. That's not like something you could just say and do. I'm like, nah, bro, that mama, I'm not comparing myself to them, but I'm like, that was my goal.
You gotta be a psychopath when you in the lab. You gotta be a psychopath in the lab.
You gotta go crazy. You gotta go crazy when it comes to that work. You gotta go crazy because nobody is going to come show you how to do. I'm like, y'all can see it every day. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when I saw that play, I remember when he was in Miami, and I told him that. And I posted it. It's a long time. It's a few years ago. I was actually in Miami. That was not during the game, but I was like,
I was there that night. I almost threw up. My hairline got pushed back like 2 seconds.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, look, that is till this day, Game 6 in Miami, LeBron, Spurs. That right there is the most stressful basketball game I've ever watched.
But he got some gray hairs on that shit, dude. You see me right now.
But I will say, the moment Chris Bosh snagged that rebound and he kicked it out to Ray, I knew it was money.
Shout out to Georgia Tech. Shout out to big Chris Bosh. That's the dog. That's the big homie.
Matter of fact, yes, because I apologize, you know, Chris, because sometimes Chris Bosh he went to Georgia Tech for 1 year, and it's like he dipped out so quick. Like, a lot of people don't mention Chris Bosh, but I knew he was a pro when I first saw CB at Georgia Tech, bro.
Mm-hmm. He was a pro. He was a pro when he was in high school. We went to Skyline. Perk, I think he went to Skyline.
Perk told me that. I asked Perk one time on the show to give me the top five Houston hoopers or from Texas, and he was like, yo, Chris Bosh, bro. Like, in Texas, as far as Texas go, like, could you look at Chris Bosh? He sacrificed in Miami, but people don't really, really, truly understand the Toronto Raptors, Chris Bosh.
Nah, it was 26-12, easy, for years, before he went to Miami.
He sacrificed a lot with those Miami Heat teams, man.
And that's what it comes, that's what comes with being a, listen, bro, we got Abo Elite, Anthony Moore Elite, my AAU team. We play down in Rock Hill, down there every weekend. My brother put the team together, D'Amico Crawford. I love you, brother. You're probably watching, or you're going to watch it when I repost everything. Ashford Gray, cousin, coach the team. Devon, he coached the team too. And Grant Williams, uncle. You know, he do everything we need.
Shout out to Grant Williams, man. I spoke to Grant Williams recently, man. We're going to try to get him on the show. Shout out to Grant, man.
That's my baby right there. That's my baby bro.
Got the bag, you know, in Dallas. Got the bag.
As he should have.
Yes.
Goddamn right. He deserved that. I told him, I said, look, bro, I don't know who you, this is when he was in Tennessee. I said, look, I don't know who you think you are. But in time, it's real shit, bro.
No, before you tell the story, let me tell you my Grant Williams story. Let me tell you my Grant Williams story, hey, before
this
you
my
get
baby. This is my baby.
So look, we had D-Wade party all-star in Utah this past February, right? So we had the D-Wade space party. I'm in there. I bump into Grant, and I like, yo, dap him, right? I didn't even have to say nothing. He was like, yo, are you kidding me, Cuffs? He was like, yo, I've been following you since I was like 12, bro.
Yeah.
He was like, yo,
man, I know you, bro.
He said, yo, I've been following you since when we was in high school in Charlotte. I said, yo, touched my chest. I said, yo, bro. Yo, that's when I really realized, like, yo, this Twitter social media shit is really wild, man.
Nah, shit real as fuck, bro. Hey, I've been telling you, you already been that before. Real talk, bro. That's what we do with the AU team. I tell them, I say, look, man, I told little brother, I said, G, you worked out with me. So this one, I was still playing and working out with them. Now I just work the kids. And I told him when he was in Tennessee, I said, you got to be PJ Tucker, but better. Yes.
That's a great comparison. Yeah.
Listen, you want to hear a quick story on some real shit, bro? I told him, I said, look, make every open three and guard four positions, you're going to make millions and millions of dollars.
Hundreds of
millions. He had that playoff game when he was with Boston. FaceTime him and his daddy. His uncle already worked with my AAU team. He called. I ain't say nothing. He picked the phone and said, you was right. This is 4 years later or something. 3 years later. He said, you was right. I said, I told you. I don't know who you think you are, but this is you. And you smart. And what's
it's great that he took your advice, because some guys might take it the wrong way when you say, look, man, just find your role. Find your role. Carve out your role.
But see, the thing about Grant is so different, and that's why I love him so much, because
He's competitive,
but at the same time, he has self-awareness. He knew that's what it is. Like, he couldn't do the shit I was doing, you know, offensively. I said, bro, you ain't got to do none of that. Make shots. I saw how he was switching on screens and helping. I said, bro, you're going to be a millionaire, bro. You're going to go crazy. What you mean, bro? I don't know. I'm telling you what you're going to do. Big bro, what you mean? I'm telling you. Do what you're doing now with them. Like, he get on them niggas' nerves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's strong as an ox. Like, he is country strong, bro.
Bro, he's a culture builder in the NBA. And I told him that's what you're gonna be, bro. You're gonna play in the league like 15, 16 years, bro. It's never gonna stop.
Yeah, we had Jared Dudley on the last show. Shout out to Doug.
Yeah,
About like the additions, and I think he's really, Grant Williams is really going to solidify Dallas on the defensive end, because we see what they got with Luka and Kyrie, that 1-2 punch. But adding Grant to the mix, you got Derek Lively from Duke protecting the rim.
I like him.
I like Derek Lively. Like, I feel like he was kind of like, he wasn't really like the focal point at Duke, but he's going to blossom in the league. But I like what the Mavs doing, but I'm proud of Grant, man. The NC kid, I always root for the NC kids to do their thing.
I fuck with Jimmy Dillon too. Shout out to the home.
I
had to play against him when he was at Boston College at Tech. I had to play against him.
Yo, Boston College. Like we said on the show, Boston College, Tyrese Rice.
Tyrese Rice was a
Craig Smith.
Bro, that was rough because they was like a football team that had basketball skill. That shit was crazy. And I was young. I could always score, but they gonna put you on the floor. Jared Dudley, what's my boy name? Marshall.
Sean
Williams, but they had the guard too, though. The light skin bro.
I think it's Marshall.
He was nice. Sean Marshall or something like that. Yeah, he was nice, bro. I hated playing him. Then they brought in Tyrese. I was like, what the fuck are y'all doing? And that's when they had Cole guy.
Tyrese was kind of like a Travis Best type, like a small left-handed guard, score, three-point shooter, get to the rim, right. Herky-jerky. Like, he was Tyrese Rice. And I still see him on Twitter. Shout out to Tyrese Rice, man.
Hey, yeah, shout out to Tyrese Rice. And they let him get off day one.
Go to the
down, do whatever he want to do. You know what I mean? Xavier and Dowdell got them at Virginia Tech. Guys, bro, it was real in the ACC when I came in there. I was like a freshman. I got Rashawn McCants. You know what I'm saying? I got all these guys, bro.
Hey, Rashawn McCants. I got to say, I've been joking with Rashawn back and forth. Rashawn, you say a lot of wild stuff. Rashawn McCants. Let me tell y'all the story real quick. I had Rashawn McCants on the Some Dude show when UNC and Duke made the Final Four the year before last. I was the first person to really put Rashawn on the platform. He was on the low. He wasn't really doing no shows. He agreed to come on. That's been my guy. But then all of a sudden, I see what Rashawn was saying about Austin Reeves, right? He said Austin Reeves wasn't like that. And it wasn't personal. But I'm a real dude, man. Like, if you say some whack shit or some bogus shit, we got to at least have some conversation about it. That's all I was saying to Rashawn. Like, Austin Reeves, bro, is looking like he's looking like he might be a potential.
Do you see this? This is intimacy.
He might be a potential all-star, I feel like. For like the Lakers this year with Anthony Davis, LeBron. Like, I could see that happening. Let me unmute Mike. Hold on. Unmute your mic, Ant. My bad. Damn, I think we might have lost Ant, man. But we was going to land this plane anyway, y'all. Y'all locked in with your boy for 1:40. We had some technical difficulties with my guy, Damon Stoudemire. But a great conversation tonight, live on Amp Some Dude Show. Ant Morrow stepping in. We got to bring Ant. We got to bring you back on, Ant. I feel like you got so many gems, man. The conversation, the chat was going crazy. I'm looking at the chat now. Uncle Phil, King Dixon, I see y'all. Charm City Slim, my guy Chaz, thanks for pulling up. Everybody in the chat, man.
I close the off, I'm in the spots where it's low. I had to tell him watch his mouth before he talk on my phone. I got a platinum Rolex with a heart full of gold. You ain't never strapped your nuts, put it all on a roll. Say he tried to re-up and lost it all on the stove.
I'm having paper, but it's crazy, I'm not having enough.
It seems like my phone ring, they be asking for stuff. I always wonder what a deal would have passed with a gun. I know some killers in your eyes and you ain't savage enough. I'm in a mall shopping, thinking niggas plotting on me. I'm not a gangster, still a pudding, that's why I got it on me. I went to see my granddad, then he died in a week. I'm crying tears behind the shade so the family don't see. Yeah, light up, hey. What makes you think I'ma let you niggas take it from me? Before we spark and fly through, I'm just casing the scene. Think I'm a junkie, she don't know why I'm drinking and sling. All these stress, how young nigga blessed. Money don't make it better, I should go buy me a vet. Drive it off in the sun, watching the sunset. More than I ever had, and I still ain't had fun yet. Still watching my back, keep a Glock in my lap. Paying niggas that's gang, they tripping cause I got racks. Truth be told, I probably won't tell you if it ain't facts. Far, far from my act, and I tell the judge, just catch. Say, the jack boys out. Jack boys out, yeah. It's a dirty gangster place, yeah. I'm keeping one up top, yeah.
Pocket Mac Docket, this a 550. Application question number one, like, would you die with me? I done seen gangsters turn goofy, you can't slide with me. All I hear is grandma in my head keep saying God with me. They won't know my walk of life, they wasn't where I ran at. That prosecutor never had no ops, I understand that. We be where it happened to, get it back in blood. I only God could judge me and I'm standing in front of judge. You just never know, you know, cause niggas they be switching. And then they look surprised when you catch up with them, switch them. Fell and then he got up, dusted off, and then he fell again. Lil' bro won't let go of that Trishan, I've been telling him. Told myself I'd never ever walk inside that jail again. Put titties on a pretty bitch with baby hairs and melanin. Tryna let it settle in, by the time that you hear this, I'm probably feeling it. Stomach shot, shit feel like a shell again. Shit feel like death before the death, but train died, yeah. FaceTime my mama tryna tell me she ain't cried yet, yeah. Don't hit your dog, don't say no rip if you ain't slide yet, yeah. Need a hit to feel like I ain't make it out them projects. Crackers tryna sit a bitch, sit me with the goonies and the trappers and the center sit. Niggas die a lot and I'm alive, fucking live a bit. Instagram models on the waiting list for my visit list. Wasn't with me shooting in the gym, you can't visit, bitch. I be there in middle of the storm, pops probably won't even notice I'm gone. But some shit be the norm, if you follow through, they can't criticize the form. You gotta hold your head and keep warm, keep warm, keep warm.
This call will be recorded and monitored. I have a collect call from...
Friday nights really had the summer. Scream free the thug, really grab the gun. A pair best to fly just cause loose don't like tracking them. Stack the butter deal for Alana. Louis bag my mother, my heart wasn't there, but she was loyal, so I had to love her. Keep strapped, city signs is up, we gotta press them till they lean back. Dreams of cuz dying before he died, I really seen that. How you broken, you could make a dollar where his fiends at. Too much fentanyl, another case, and we don't need that. Wanted if the cost right, why you claim you wouldn't? Can't tell me what a loss like. Cardi watched the same wrist, the bracelet, extra frostbite. Bustin'
off that perky, got him ashing on his off-white. Hopefully you get inspired. If we ever promised him a coffin, made him fit inside. You don't know it's wrong to stretch your legs until you get inside. Couldn't duck the eyes if he wanted to, we're his living bomb. Ain't gonna freeze the body till somebody come identify. Trust me, I was made for this. I ain't had sushi till I had it with an Asian bitch. Chopsticks, soy sauce, Kiko Monglay shit. Somebody hooked off, we ain't leaving who we came with. Pay the price. What you want, cause I ain't taking best after I shake the dice. I should get the kick and you'll miss if you don't spread right. Bad bitches like the dick and money make a plan nice. Locked with a nigga who got life, said it changed his life.
This call will be recorded and monitored. I have a collect call from... If you would like to set up an account and accept this call, please press 4.
Cool on this side, man. We just talked this shit out, bro.
Good. That's right. Own it, man. That's good. You sound in good spirit. You sound strong.
Yeah, bro. I ain't got no choice. Like, you feel me? Like, they let me, you know, obviously the whole situation. They let me rock on the phone and stuff like that. So, I'm going to get... You ready for me? All right, man. Back in a second. I got to bust a couple moves.
Creeping slowly in the tennis stoli. Gotta get it doli. Fed the team cause I could. None of my niggas owe me. Need a hammer, let them hold it. Heard it ate this middle vintage Kobe. In a bottle come up, certainly it don't concern me. Life sticks. Pay the white bitch to move the white bitch. Baby bro had Fetty in his pill. He ain't been right since. Never seen a soul leave a body. Shit, he might snitch. Couldn't keep it fresh till big bro put me on that rice trick. Made it fly. I ain't in the funerals cause that ain't how I say goodbye. We just pray to God we see the signs. We don't get snaked or slime. Monopoly rules, he land on mine. We make him pay the fine. That ain't cost you 20 on your wrist and you just wasted time. Wasted time. Been had it, they just find it out. Choppers up in storage, whipping pour it in Sharonda house. Pussy tight, she gotta reach back in to get the condom out. Pack it in the couch, we stuff the sofa, rip the liners out.
I'm a boss with the killers, break his jaw when I steal it. With that raw, I'm a dealer. Play with bowls like the Steelers. Grab some O's, get the shift and snatch some stamps. Hit the table, niggas wrestling with that raw. But watch your mouth like it's cable, I get stone cold. The sky dweller rose gold. DM from my old hoes. I'm Dion when that go close. High stepping in it, throw that screen pass aside to my image when I touch down. I feel like the sky is the limit. Roly bust down, it's really me. I don't need an image. I retire with that Smith and grab that pill like I'm Winston. Shit get real on a mission. Play that, feel like I'm Ken Griff. Grab that steal when I'm tripping. I got steals like I'm Pippin. I see the play drawn. I intercept and get my fast break on. I slammed it in that pot. They say I blacked out. Akon, so stay calm before you crash and you niggas need stay farm. Chase Fetty surf. This shit is napalm.
Y'all know me.
This shit a fucking scrimmage, nigga. Hey, nigga ain't even go 100 yet, man. Still tiptoeing on both sides. This ain't no rap shit, nigga. This shit big for the state, nigga. Jersey, nigga. Surfers popping, nigga. Bro, our niggas know me, man.
Niggas say they outside, but with no place to go. They say, Rand, you look young. They see in my face a glow that resembles the greats before. Nas, big face and hove. I got a ways to go, but don't you try to give me them flowers that took a day to grow. See me, I let them haters know. And I tell my people around me, I'm trying to feed. You gon' bleed if you take your plate to go. No, I wanna see the best side of me. But money changes niggas like bribery. And now they telling lies to me. Addicted to the life with no sobriety. I had some lost niggas that was guiding me violently. Now I get teary-eyed when my daughter says bye to me. Silently, I keep it all inside of me. Cause this is how I gotta be.
I wanna see the best side.
Yeah,
I hope you seeing what is what. Was always full of hatred, couldn't love enough. That's why I said enough's enough. But those who bet against me, I tell them niggas, let's double up. Deal a card, shuffle up. Pioneers spilling your heart on tracks and they shut them up. First one through the wall is always gonna get bloodied up. And now this runner up is about to run it up. Too bad y'all niggas runners up. Niggas drunk the Kool-Aid, but it's too late. Cause most of these rapping niggas gon' want a cup. You never seen me buddied up when niggas ain't the same cloth. Taking pics, hugging up, telling stories that ain't yours. You ain't never blow your gun clean, blood off a stained floor. Yeah, you might be holding one, but we ain't on the same course. I'm wrapping up a large peak, headed to the main source. Some crackers in a RV with Berettas and some chainsaws. That's why I spent this pain for. For niggas locked up and she say it ain't yours. Brother dead on the same call, another death got your brain paused. We remain floored, can't afford to weather the storm cause even the rain pour. Now we not the same dog, please let me explain, Lord. If I'm in a crowd of niggas, who you think they gon' aim for? Yeah, yours truly. To all these fake rappers who swear that war's a movie, I clear the walls of juvie, your fearless bars don't move me. You playing a game, prepared for Call of Duty. The ops saying my name, I hear the calls of duty. The cops put them in chains, I swear them laws are spooky. But I hear the guards as groupies, they tell me this my last gasp. I take a deep breath and reassess, I'm in the mirror working on my last laugh.
Huh. Ayo, Red, let me talk on this, my nigga. Know what I'm saying? Ayo, turn me up in the headphones, man. Know what I mean? Hey, y'all, I remember being stressed out about cream, but I ain't never lose sleep, my nigga. What's a visionary without dreams? I needed rest to see out schemes like navigation. My imagination could reroute things. Only kings know about queens. I found mine and I hired a maid to keep the house clean. Now where would I be without fiends? They took care of me, shit. Some even gave me their house keys. In 03, we was drought kings. Got a warehouse full of things just in case my accounts freeze. A marathon ain't about speed. You gotta pace yourself, this ain't about greed. I told my bitch, I'm the man of the house, let your spouse lead. Y'all niggas will bite your tongue till your mouth bleed. I was just giving out peas. Now that same safe is full of contracts and house deeds. I'm dealing with this anxiety and all these mental issues that's inside of me. I just wanna see the best side of me. So I go inside of the booth and get privacy. Hire me a private masseuse, reflexology. You gotta seek honesty and truth to respect modesty. Beefing with people that set policies, knowing my product's the best quality. But this is how I gotta be, huh? And I was always taught to get rid of beef, lemon squeeze with a banana clip, that's bittersweet. I'm off balance chemically, mixed energy. Y'all mix money and power with bitch tendencies. It take more than money and power to get rid of me, huh? And that's probably why I ain't died yet. Couple niggas tried and failed, homie, I'm God sent. It's a process when you a living prophet. First you manifest it, then you visualize it. That's how you turn something subjective into an object. Trust.
Special tears cause nobody gave a fuck. So I cried out in cursive letters, like these verses that somehow explain my madness and stitch my soul together. Through special tears with broken fingers, I beat demons that had my mind possessed. Then I woke up to scratch marks on my face and bruises all over my chest. These shattered mirrors show jagged images, I barely recognize who I see. Blood, sweat, and tears, I write the teeth out the devil so he stops eating away at me. And my insanity's my genius, these special tears displaced his rage. You could tell by the blood stains in the margins, water stained circles all over the page.